The backup man. Hard thing, you know. Am I on?
Wow.
I'm on.
There you are.
Well, there went half my preaching time. It's good to see you all this morning. Yeah, right is right. Anyway, I'm delighted to be here, but not for the reason that I'm here, that your pastor's out of commission temporarily. Hopefully this time will be the last time for surgery for him. Can't believe he's gone through all that he's gone through, but he keeps on plugging away, so keep praying for him. We hear that this thing will heal, and that'll be the end of it. Guess that's why they call it practicing medicine, huh? Turn in your Bible, please, to Ecclesiastes. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. So if you get somewhere near the middle of your Bible, go to Psalms, and then Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes. You'll find it. And we're looking for chapter 11. Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. And you find that, please, and we'll get the message underway. Chapter 11. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God, please, and then we'll pray. I'm going to read the first six verses where Solomon, the wise man, at least initially wise, but anybody who marries 600 women and has 600 or 300 concubines can't be too smart. But he was wise at the beginning when God gave him wisdom. And he wrote these words in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. He goes through a bunch of truths, just plain, common, ordinary truths that I think we're going to emphasize one of them in verse 3 today. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. That has to do with giving, by the way. You give and God will give to you. Then it says, verse 2, give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they emptied themselves upon the earth. And here's my text. If the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether thou shalt shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Again, the latter part of verse 3 is our text. It says, if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer, please. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the truth of God's Word, and we pray that this principle that we'll be preaching this morning will lodge in the hearts of the hearers. We pray that the Spirit of God may use it to help us to establish carefully our position, our balance in the Christian life, that we may live to please you above all things. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you'll do in our hearts through the Holy Spirit and His Word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, Solomon in this verse seems to state what is obvious. If a tree is leaning in one direction and it falls or somebody cuts it down, that's the direction it's going to land in, right? Gravity takes over. And so I've called this message, "You will land where you lean." Just like a tree lands where it leans, you'll land where you lean. I had an assistant pastor. He wasn't too bright. And in many ways, I used him for an illustration earlier, which really showed how stupid he was. But we had an old parsonage on the property. And so there was this tree that was leaning towards the parsonage. Well, he decided he was going to cut the tree down. And in order to keep it from falling on the house, he put a rope on it. And, you know, he thought, well, that'll do it. And when I cut, we'll have a couple guys pull on it, and it'll fall away from the house. Well, he forgot to read this verse of Scripture, that if you lean in a direction, that's the direction you're going to fall in. And the tree fell on the house. It busted down all the rain gutters, busted the roof of the porch, the whole thing, and it did not work. Had he consulted me, who had much more wisdom, I would have told him, "It's going to fall in the house, dummy." You know? But he didn't listen, didn't even consult me for my wonderful wisdom. But Solomon states here a very good, not only physical principle, but a spiritual principle. And that is, you will land where you lean. And Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said this. He said, and by the way, this is a picture of Dr. Bob when he was young. Most of us have never seen a picture of Dr. Bob when he was young. This is a picture when he was a young evangelist, fiery evangelist. And he said this: "You show me a man's slant on life, and I'll tell you where he's going to end up." In other words, he's saying, you will land where you lean. Your slant on life is going to lead you in a certain direction. He tried to warn Dr. John R. Rice of Billy Graham's leaning way back in the 1950s when Billy Graham exploded on the scene. And he became the nation's evangelist. And he was also one of the editors on The Sword of the Lord. And so Dr. Bob Jones Sr. saw the direction that Billy Graham was leaning, and he warned him about him, and he said, "You better get this guy off your board." Well, Dr. John R. Rice wanted to hold on to him as long as possible because of his popularity and his association with The Sword of the Lord. He hadn't landed yet. And so Dr. Rice wanted to hold on to him as long as possible. Now, Billy Graham says social drinking is okay. The Pope is a great man of God. There's no fire in hell, no golden streets in heaven. And when the first former President Bush, when his mother was dying, listen to this statement. Billy Graham told him not to worry about her. He said, quote, "Well, she'll be all right. Some folks are born Christians and others have to be converted." That's Billy Graham. In his invitations, he says, "Some of you need to come and renew your confirmation or renew your catechism." That's a quote. His counselors in his crusades may be Catholic, Mormon, or even some backslidden Baptists. What happened? He landed where he leaned. Here's where he landed. He landed in Rome. He even landed with this guy. And he just landed where he leaned. Now, I want to read a couple of quotes from Billy Graham. He says these things. Some of these should shock you. I hope they do. About his crusades, he said, "I'm not a pastor of a church. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to preach the gospel to everyone. Let them choose their own church, whether it is Catholic or Protestant or Orthodox or whatever it is." Unquote. About Pope John Paul II, he said, "Pope John Paul II has brought the greatest impact of any pope in the last 200 years. I admire his courage, determination, intellectual abilities, and his understanding of Catholic, Protestant and Orthodox differences and the attempt at some form of reconciliation. Let's get all the churches together, regardless of their doctrine. He said this. This one should really shock you. I think there's the body of Christ. This comes from all the Christian groups. I think everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ, and that's what God is doing today. He's calling out of the world for His name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world, they are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their hearts that they need something they don't have, and they turn to the only light they have, and I think they are saved and that they're going to be with us in heaven. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus. If they don't know the name of Jesus, they're not going to heaven with us. He said also, I have no quarrel with the Catholics. We'll send them inquirers, that is people who come to get saved, to their own churches, Roman Catholics, Protestant, or Jewish. You say, well, I thought Billy Graham was a great evangelist. Oh, I'm sure he's preached many sermons where people have genuinely gotten saved, especially earlier in his ministry, but that doesn't excuse his ecumenical concepts. Separation begins in Genesis and in Genesis chapter 1 and ends in the book of the Revelation at the end. In the beginning, he separates light from darkness, the firmament from the water, and so forth and so on, and goes all the way to the end where he separates the saved from the lost. Separation is a Bible doctrine. And because he leaned in the wrong direction, Billy Graham landed in the wrong place. He landed where he leaned. The first thing we want, by the way, did those handouts get given out? Everybody have one? Anybody not get one? Right here. Can somebody get him one, please? Thank you. I think it's important that you hold on to the principle of this message. Position. If you lean, by the way, the only reason why the Tower of Pisa is still standing is because underneath of it, they have reinforced it with all kind, tons of concrete and all kind of cables to keep it standing. But if those cables break, you know which direction it's going to land in. It's leaning because of its position, and because of its leaning, it's going to land in that direction, just like we're told in the text. Over 30 times in the New Testament, the words "the faith" are used. The faith is a body of truth that embraces the doctrine of the New Testament, without which believers are not where they belong. You need to embrace all of the truth of the Bible, not just pick and choose what you like. The faith contains all of the major doctrines of the Word of God, and by the way, there are no minor doctrines in the Bible. Everything's there for a purpose. Now, there are some that you must believe or you'll not go to heaven. For example, you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You must believe, by the way, even before that, that this book is God's holy word. I hold this book in my hands. I'm talking about a King James Bible. And I believe it is the inerrant, infallible, inspired, and preserved word and words of the living God. And as a result, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I got saved in this book. And I'm staying with this book till I die. I'm not trading it in for a butter knife. It's my sword. Now, position is very important. Direction determines destination. You will land where you lean. If you want to head to Florida, you don't point your car in the direction of Massachusetts. Amen? If you're going to Florida, you better head south, not north. Because you're going to end up whichever direction you choose. The reason you're a member of an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church is because of your position, which must be based on Scripture, the faith. Beware leaning in the wrong direction, or that is where you're going to land. If you lean towards Rick Warren's purpose-driven church and purpose-driven life, that's where you're going to land. By the way, I thought it was supposed to be Bible-driven life, not purpose-driven life. Your purpose might be different than mine, but if you adhere to the Bible, we're all going the same direction. Amen. You're not going to jump on Joel Osteen's bandwagon, who says, I will never preach on hell or anything negative. Well, unfortunately, that leaves him in a bad position because eight out of the Ten Commandments are negative. So that means he can only preach two of the Ten Commandments. That means he can only preach about a third of the Bible because the other two-thirds is negative. Thou shalt not. There's lots of that in the Bible. Now, there are lots of thou shalt, but there has to be a balance. And the position that you take determines your destination. Some of you have the right position, but you're pointed in the wrong direction. Your position is right, but your leanings are wrong. Where is Paul? Did he leave? He's out there somewhere. I need a young man. Give me this young man with the green shirt right here. Hey, come on up here. Tell everybody your name.
Julio.
What?
Julio.
Julio. Julio. We have two Julios?
Yes.
You, Julio. Oh, okay. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to lean toward me. Now put your feet together. Now lean toward me. Keep leaning. Keep leaning. Now, I want to see how far you can lean. Come on. Okay. Now, I want you to notice something. There's a point at which there's no return. If he lean, come on, lean. Now, at this point, if he keeps leaning, he's going to be on the floor if I don't catch him. Now, your position determines your destination. His position here, if he leans this way, is the floor. That's his destination. If I don't stop it. Thank you very much, Leo. Appreciate it. Now, your position may be right, but if your leanings are wrong, you're going to end up at the wrong destination. And I'm talking doctrinally especially. Very few men stand straight perfectly. You know, most of us kind of slump or lean or whatever, you know. But very few men, and nearly all, everyone in this room included, have biases. Hello? You grew up and you were indoctrinated by your parents, your environment, or something with certain biases and prejudices. Come on, it's okay to say amen. You all did. You know, and let me tell you where racism starts. It starts in a home. You know, you are brainwashed in your home to think bad about somebody of a different color, a different lifestyle, a different nationality, or whatever.
Yes.
You, when you get saved, you need to grow up.
Yes,
and you need to get out of that mindset that you had indoctrinated into you when you were young.
Yes.
And there are some people right now who aren't in this church because they couldn't grow up and base their beliefs on Bible principles instead of some racist factor or some other thing that they were indoctrinated in when they were young. Hello? You're still there, aren't you? Don't leave me out. Are we okay? Everything's okay? Okay. Now, I love to go fishing, and I learned a little bit about boating. I noticed this, that, you know, when you have a compass, you better watch that compass carefully. And when you are driving a boat, the current, the wind, and a lot of other factors will take you off course constantly. So you got to constantly adjust the boat to maintain your position. Because your position will ultimately determine not only your direction, but your destination. I was on a boat with John Brooks one time. He's been here 10 meetings, just this last 10 meeting he was here. And John owned the boat. He was the captain. And we're in Cape May. And the fog is terrible. You can't even see the bow of the boat that we're on. Our boat is only 20-some foot long. You couldn't see the bow of the boat. And so we decided we're just going to go out the inlet and go around the rock pile, and we're going to fish right near the end of the rock pile. But you can't see anything. And we kept hearing boat motors, you know. And then all of a sudden, we heard this real deep, and we said, oh, something's coming. Something big is on its way. And I said, John, I said, head for the beach, because that boat isn't going to beach itself. It's too big. I said, head for the beach. Well, he's relying on his instincts instead of the compass. We're supposed to be heading east or west to the beach, and we're heading east, right in the path of that ship. It wasn't a boat. It was a ship. And out of the fog, we see this giant hulk of a ship, and we're heading right towards it. I said, John, look at your... He says, we are heading west. I said, look at your compass. I said, we're heading east. We're going to... We're heading east. I said, we're going to head right into that ship. You better know which direction you're going in. You're going to end up in the wrong place. And what really convinced him was not just the ship and not just me yelling like a banshee, but suddenly we started hearing bullets whiz over our heads. We were right outside the Coast Guard station firing range. And they're firing machine gun, you know. I said, John, go west or go east, young man, go east. Finally, when he heard the gunshots, he turned the boat around and we headed out to sea. It was not fun. Bottom line is, when you are in life, not just in a boat, you better constantly make course corrections or you're going to end up not where you wanted to be. And you better make sure your compass is the Word of God. You better know what the book teaches. You better know that your foundation is on solid ground. You better know that what you believe is what God says, not just your ideas. Because your position is all important. This message, by the way, is a course correction message. Some of you need to change your direction. You're heading in the wrong direction. You say, well, I just think this church standards are a little bit strict. What, you want to go the other direction? You're going to get in trouble. Yeah. And your position determines where you're going to land. You lean toward the world, you're going to end up in the world. It's as simple as that. By the way, you know, the world wants you to go any old direction. But you better know where you're headed. Because the Bible talks about this in James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. It talks about these five steps that are involved when you get on the road to temptation, how you're going to end up in the road to death. Okay? Now, it's temptation, lust, enticement, sin, and death. The wages of sin is death. Okay, so if I had five young people stand up here and we labeled them, each one of these words, I thought about doing this, but it'd take too much time. But if you start with temptation and don't go beyond that to lust, then you're a lot safer than if you went on to enticement. And then if you stayed at enticement, you're still safe because you haven't yet sinned. But once you sin, something's going to die. It may not be physical death, but your testimony may die. Your reputation may die. There are a lot of things in your life. Your joy may die. A lot of things in your life may die if you continue down that path of destruction. So direction determines destination. And let me say something more about that. Hold on. Leanings determine landings. We already saw that demonstrated when Julio came up here, and as he leaned, now, you know, if he had put his foot this way, he could have probably leaned a little bit further without falling. But without any support, if he's leaning, pretty soon he's going to end up on the floor. It's just the law of gravity. I just saw a funny cartoon this week. Had a picture of Isaac Newton. He discovered the law of gravity. And he's sitting under a tree. You know, they say he discovered the law of gravity. He saw an apple fall from a tree, you know, and he made some computations, et cetera. I don't know how he came up. But anyway, he's sitting under a tree. The apple hit him on the head. He's knocked out on the ground, and he's just waking up, and his buddy comes along and says, that's your fault for discovering the law of gravity. I thought that was pretty funny. You obviously don't, but anyway. Now, some of you have the right position, but you have dangerous leanings. You lean right, you land right. You lean left, you land wrong. I've used this illustration here before, but I'm going to use it again. Let's see. This is your right over here. That's my right over there. But, you know, fundamentalists, Bible believers, started out here. Okay? And the liberals are way over there on that wall. That's the left. But Bible believers in many churches keep moving further to the left. Because the direction is always to the left if we let nature take its course. You're not going to go further right and become some kind of a snake handler if you believe the Bible. What you're going to do is take the easier path, less standards, less restrictions. And so you just keep moving a little bit at a time. In the old days, you notice the verse of Scripture says, if the foundations be removed, what shall the righteous do? In the old days, what they did was they had large boulders or rocks that marked out the location of the edge of your property. And at night, some crook would come by who wanted more of your land, and he would move that stone, but he wouldn't move it all the way over here. He'd just move it a couple of inches every night, and every night, and every night, and every night. And finally, the owner of the property wakes up one day and says, how'd that stone get way over here? He didn't even realize that it was being moved because it was being moved incrementally. Fundamentalists who started over here no longer oftentimes realize that they are now over here where the new evangelicals used to be, where Billy Graham used to be or is. He may even be over here, I'm not sure. But he hobnobbed with this crowd. He doesn't hobnob at all with that crowd. But somehow, fundamentalists have jumped on the bandwagon, moderated their position throughout the faith once delivered to the saints, and go the easy route. And now they are in the former neo-evangelical position, the middle of the road. They have abandoned the King James Bible. They've included Christian music, which is unacceptable to God. They call it contemporary Christian music. And they have changed their whole order of church services. The preacher doesn't wear a tie anymore. He wears a Hawaiian shirt. And he sits up on a stool. There's no pulpit. And he plays a guitar. Nothing wrong with playing the guitar. Where is Charlie, by the way? Anyway, I don't see him. Where? Oh, he's on vacation. Well, we'll let him go. Anyway, the whole deal is this. Churches are changing. This so-called emerging church movement means that the church is not emerging to something stronger and better. It's moving to something weaker and less biblical. Man, I wish you could get this. Is an important message. It's an important principle that is laid down in this passage of Scripture, by the way. Fundamentalists need to beware. Leanings are dangerous. If you're a deer hunter, preacher, I'm not a deer hunter, and you're looking for a tree to place your deer stand in, you better not get up in a tree that is leaning too far. Because if you fall, you're going to hurt yourself. When I was in the Army, I was in the infantry, and I was training for firing weapons. I knew this, that when I aimed in on a target, I had to compensate for the distance. Because if I was off at an inch at 100 yards, I'd be off at 2 inches and 200 yards and 3 inches at 300 yards, even though my sights were right on the target. I had to compensate because the natural tendency is for that bullet to deteriorate as it goes through the air. Sooner or later, it's going to land somewhere. Are you getting what I'm saying? Okay, stay with me. Billy Graham did not get where he is today by a leap, but by his leanings. And no preacher who used to be a Bible believer or a fundamentalist swapped his Bible overnight. He did it because he leaned in that direction. I love the old Bible, that precious old Bible, a light in my pathway to shine. It makes me so happy, always so happy. God's wonderful book, divine. The last verse of that hymn is very important. It says, in case you've been wondering of which book I sing, it's the only one authorized by a king. We're talking about the King James Bible. Listen, there's no Bible out there that's going to replace this book as far as God is concerned. You may replace it, but if you do so, you're at odds with God. You're leaning in the wrong direction if you even consider another version of the scripture in English. Somebody needs to say amen right about there. Now, you won't become a charismatic by jumping ship from the fundamentalist position, but by your leanings in that direction. You say, well, I just think it's okay to go visit a charismatic church. If you do that, you may like something you see, or you may develop a friendship with somebody you ought not to be friends with. And as you lean in that direction, sooner or later you'll say, well, doctrine can't be that important, and you're out of here. Remember the Sunday school lesson for those of you who are here. Will ye also go away? Where are you going to go to? Your position will determine where you land. You won't become a new evangelical from a leap, but by subtle leanings in your life. If you begin to lean towards the world, you're going to end up in the world. If you begin to lean to human reasoning, you will end up out of the will of God. Let me give you an Old Testament verse that illustrates the principle. Over in 2 Kings 18:21 says, now behold, thou trustest, he's talking to Israel, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. God is warning Israel not to make an alliance with Egypt because they're going to end up getting hurt. And he warned them again and again and again, and they continued to ignore it. Here's another verse of scripture. Most of you know this one. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Listen, if I leave it up to you without the word of God, you'll make a wrong decision, a wrong choice. You'll lean in the wrong direction. You better have the Bible, the faith, as your anchor, or you're going to lean and then land where you never intended to go. And that would be a disaster. All right, let's go to number two. Balance. You not only have to have the right position, but you need a balance in the Christian life. Stability follows stance. Stance is where you stand. Your stability is determined by where you stand. You stand on a weak foundation, you're going to find out it's not very stable. Nobody likes to stand in the mud, I hope. You know, pigs like it, but people aren't supposed to. And nobody likes to stand in a place where they're unsure of themselves. You know, where they don't have a sure footing. I never forget, I was out with Pastor Leterco out in Wyoming, and we went horseback riding. Before we went horseback riding, we put the horses in a trailer, and we drove 10 miles up into the mountains. After we got after we got to the 10 miles, we got the horses out, we saddled them up, and we rode 10 more miles up into the mountains. Sometimes we were on this path where there was a 2,000-foot drop straight down. And the path was right next to the ledge. And I thought several times, the horse would do that, and I go, good grief, I'm done. but that horse had to have sure footing. He had to be stable. I looked up in the mountains, and here is a mountain goat standing on a little tiny piece of rock jutting out from the mountain, no bigger than that. He's got all 4 feet planted there. I said, you stupid. I mean, maybe it was rock, but it's in the wrong place. And you need stability. We are not mountain goats. Amen. We're believers in the Bible. And so we can't do what that stupid animal does. Now, God made him that way, so I better not call him stupid. Now, loss of balance results in a fall. My wife has fallen how many times? 41 times. We're putting her in a Guinness World Book of Records. 41 times, not a broken bone. And we praise the Lord for that. But listen to me. The reason why she falls is because she has no balance. If she's not holding on to her walker, then first thing you know is she's... And she always falls backwards. I don't get that. I keep telling her, no matter what you're doing, lean forward. She doesn't understand the law of gravity that Newton discovered. Because if you lean in this direction, you're going to fall toward the walker. If you lean in this direction, you're going to fall on the floor and hit your head, which she has done a number of times. And you say, well, that explains things. No, don't go there, please. You'll get in trouble. Now, the Great Wallendas. How many have heard of the Great Wallendas? Anybody? The Great Wallendas were a high wire act. I mean, they had a whole family up on the high wire. Why would you teach your kids to get up on a wire 100 feet in the air? I don't know. It didn't make any sense to me. Anyway, they're all up there, and they kept trying to build this pyramid larger and larger and larger to include all the members of the family. Well, they finally thought they had it down. Now, a high wire act always practices this far from the ground. They put a wire down here, and they walk on that so that if they fall, they don't hurt themselves. And then, once they get it down, then they move the wire up and up and up and up. Finally, they got it up where they thought they had it down pat, and they had about 8 people on this pyramid. And all of a sudden, somebody in the bottom collapsed. And one of them died, and several of them were seriously injured. Why? Because somebody lost their balance. If you lose the balance in the Christian life, you're going to hurt yourself. And you may hurt some other people who are hanging with you instead of hanging with the Lord. Keep your balance and you'll keep your position. Remember position? Important. When you get known as the greatest in some area of your life, you are probably deficient in a number of other areas of your life. I may have one strength and 25 weaknesses. You too. Don't look at me like that. You too. If you are really strong in one area, don't get all puffed up over that, because you probably need to work on a lot of other areas in your life. Now, I need to put on the whole armor of God, the Bible says, not just a couple of pieces. And if I do that, then I will have balance in the Christian life. And I won't have to be afraid to fall, because I have my position right and my balance correct. My position declares my present location. My leanings tell where I will be tomorrow. Remember Lot's wife. Her present location was one of safety. But her leanings toward Sodom ended up killing her. She had to look back. Her heart was still back in Sodom. By the way, Lot should have never taken his family there in the first place. His position was wrong, and he had no balance in his life. Balance, by the way, requires constant adjustment, just like position does. If you're going to keep your balance, you have to constantly position yourself and balance yourself based on principle, not emotions, or you're going to lose your balance. Your position has to be based on doctrine, not feelings. or you'll lose your balance. The reason why Billy Graham landed left was because he leaned left. He allowed his associations to change his position and his balance. He failed to make adjustments in his ministry course. Before Billy Graham became famous, and I'll tell you how he got to be famous, by the way. He was just an average evangelist touring the country, but he went to the other place in the land, fruits and nuts. Los Angeles. He went to Los Angeles, okay. Just disregard that little parenthetical statement. But he went out there to Los Angeles, and he had a big tent meeting. Had lots of people come. And Randolph William Hearst of the Hearst newspaper syndicate heard about Billy Graham, and he sent a two-word telegram to all of his newspaper syndicate all across America. Two words said Puff Graham, meaning advertise him, make him a big deal, and so forth and so on. And from that moment on, Billy Graham began to lean in the wrong direction because it meant he'd have larger crowds. Billy Graham's philosophy is stated in a book that I have in my, or had in my library, and it was this, that as long as I preach right, it doesn't matter who I fellowship with. Oh, yes, it does. Paul the Apostle says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Instead of preaching to the unbelievers, he would have unbelievers sitting on the platform with it. You say, well, another principle he established was this. He said, I will never let my associations affect my preaching. Of course they will. If you're hanging out with a bunch of liberals, you're going to be careful about preaching against liberal theology. Hello? He got to the place, by the way, his wife continued to be a Presbyterian all her life. So I guess on Sunday morning when they woke up and they weren't in meetings, they said, well, I'll go to the Baptist church and you can go to the Presbyterian church. Or we'll both go to the Presbyterian church or we'll both go to the Baptist church. Somebody in that family had to make a compromise. And by the way, he was all about compromise, and that's the reason why he landed where he leaned. Whew. I'm getting tired just preaching at you. I don't know whether you're listening or not. I don't know whether you're paying attention to me here. It's important. Now, I doubt today if Billy Graham knows what he believes about anything. He has embraced Catholicism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, and all the other false religions, and equates them on some level with Christianity. He leans to his own understanding instead of leaning on God's Word. Let's get to that word, leanings. Leanings. Very important word. Here's Julio in the picture up here. Let's talk about Lot. He leaned in the wrong direction. He looked, he longed, and he leaned in the direction of Sodom, and ended up living over there with a bunch of queers, losing his testimony, his reputation, his standing with God, and ultimately his whole family. You say, well, I don't like you calling them queers. Well, I don't like their lifestyle. And God calls it an abomination. And, by the way, I'm not the one who calls them queers. They call themselves queers. Their motto is, we're queer, we're here, get over it. Well, I'm not getting over it because God didn't get over it.
That's right.
Anyway, if you don't want to end up in a ditch, you need to keep your eyes on the road. Amen? The problem is, if you look in the wrong direction and you lean in that direction, pretty soon that's where you're going to be. It's just an inexorable principle like the law of gravity. If I fall from this platform, I'm not falling up, I'm falling down. I was putting my computer up here today. Only the preacher and Bob and my wife were in the auditorium or in the property. And all of a sudden they heard me yell. And I fell down onto the floor. My back killing me right now. I'm going to be hurting worse tomorrow morning, I can guarantee you. Bottom line is, I didn't fall up. I was leaning in the wrong direction. I fell down. The law of gravity grabbed a hold of me and put me down on the floor. They come running. They heard me yell. They come running and said, "What's the matter?" I said, "I was too close to the edge." And that, by the way, we'll talk about that tonight. Anyway, Lot longed and looked and leaned in the wrong direction. He lost everything. Let's talk about Demas. Demas was a companion of the Apostle Paul at one time. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 it says, Paul said finally, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." How did he go back to the world? He started leaning in that direction. That's how. Yeah, you're not going to get hooked on booze or drugs unless you hang with that crowd. You lean in that direction, that's where you're going to end up. That's why you don't dare take that first drink, because you don't know if you're going to become an alcoholic or not. You better not puff on that first marijuana cigarette, or you're liable to end up in a crack house someplace with an overdose. Are you listening to me? You better be careful what kind of music you listen to, because that will change your attitude toward the things of God. I am shocked, preacher, when I hear Christians who know all the words to the popular rap and rock music songs. I don't know a one. I don't even want to know. By the way, I always have to have closed caption on TV. And sometimes you'll be in the middle of a story and they'll start playing some song and the words will appear on the screen. I can't even make sense out of them. They have no meaning whatsoever that I can figure out. Why would I want to listen to that garbage? Sometimes I'm glad I'm deaf. By the way, I have selective hearing. When my wife says something I don't want to hear, I just pretend I'm deaf. And she knows it's half true at least. Now, Demas hath forsaken me. Imagination is a dangerous thing. He didn't wake up one morning and say, "I'm going out to the world." He began to imagine the things that he could do out there. You know, I can get involved with that crowd. They seem to be having a good time. You know, when they used to have cigarette commercials on TV, it was always, you know, the in crowd was having such a great time. The booze crowd, you know, grab all the gusto you can. Yeah, and grab all the degradation that you'll end up with. I never saw a cigarette commercial that showed patients with lung cancer down at University of Pennsylvania Hospital. But I've been down there and I've seen where it ends up. The devil never shows you the whole picture. He only shows you the beginning. Everybody's having a great time. Smoke this brand, drink this brand. They don't show you what happens if you do that. The devil took Balaam up onto a mountain. He said, "You see all that? All that can be yours. All you have to do..." But he didn't show him the whole picture. He didn't show him the end of what was going to happen if he went with that crowd. Lastly, swerving and swearing. That's the Apostle Peter. Peter was following Jesus the night of his trial, but he was leaning away from him. Jesus is over here on trial. Peter's over here denying him and even cursing, saying, "I don't know him. I don't know that blankety blank, whoever." Speaking of Jesus. Now, he ended up denying and cussing because he got in with the wrong crowd. Your leanings are going to place you with the wrong crowd. Are you listening? Young people especially, you listening? The people you hang with are who you are going to become. You're going to be like the crowd you hang with. I used to tell my young people all the time, you're going to be like the crowd you hang with. But that doesn't just apply for kids. That applies for adults. There's some people in this church. By the way, let me preface this remark by saying this. You should never be unkind to anybody, even your enemies. In fact, Jesus says, love them, pray for them. But listen, doesn't mean you have to join them. Don't be unkind to them. There are people in this church that you should not associate with. I mean, they may be saved, but if they're living the wrong lifestyle, you better be careful, because now you start leaning in their direction. First thing you know, you're going to be with them and like them. And then you're going to start criticizing the preacher and the preaching and the Bible. And then you're going to be out that door. Preacher, is this true or not? There's a geography about church. You know, people who used to sit here, if they start moving to here, no reflection on you, brother. Watch them, because if they move here or here, the next step is out the door. Hello? Now, I know some of you have your favorite seats. Our brother just told me, that's my seat. That means if a visitor comes in, shame on them if they want to sit there. But listen, I notice almost every church I go to that the same people sit in the same seats all the time. I mean, look at Brother Harry back there. What can I tell you? Now, listen to me. You sit in the same seat. If I have visuals that have real small print, I ask people to move toward the center. Some people sit there and say, I will not be moved. Now, but let some little thing in the church take place that upsets them, and then they start heading for the door. They go from this pew, to that pew, and out the door. Does it work in that way or not, preacher? Yes, it does. I watch it again and again and again. Now, if your, quote, your seat is already in the back row, I don't know what to say about you. I'm not even going to go there. But if you're moving in that direction, that's a problem, because you're leaning and then you're going to land where you didn't plan to be. Somebody who used to come to all the services and then starts missing some is following Jesus like Peter did, but leaning away from him and leaning away from the church for which he shed his blood. I can name some people that used to sit where you sit. Not here anymore. What happened? Well, you know, the preacher got up and he said, doesn't matter. If he's not preaching the Bible, you don't have to pay attention to that. If he's preaching the book and a principle in the scripture, you better pay attention. And you better follow the man that God sent here as God's man. He's the leader. He's the shepherd. You say, well, you know, I don't like the way he combs his hair. Well, in his case, you don't have to worry about combing his hair. But you say, you know, I don't like the neckties he wears. Or what? By the way, he complimented me on my choice of colors today because they're the Steelers' colors, he said. If I had known that, I would have worn green and white. Now, leaning and landing seem very far from each other. But the disaster is not in the leaning, it's in the landing. If a missile is off an inch on the launching pad, it'll be off by miles when it gets out in space. If you're leaning just a little bit in the wrong direction now, pretty soon you're going to end up somewhere where you never planned on going. I'm sure that when Lot looked at the well-watered plain of Sodom, he never thought he would end up being the leader of the homosexual community and sitting in the gate as the judge. But that's where he ended up. I'm sure he never thought that my wife is going to be turned into a pillar of salt because of where I moved to. I'm sure he never thought God is going to judge Sodom and everybody in it. So when we, you know, and he tried to get all of his family out, all he could get out was his girls. He never got their husbands. They burned up in the fire and brimstone. I'm sure he never dreamt that he would sleep with his two daughters and produce children that became the enemies of God. You better stop and calculate where you're leaning now, because that's where you're going to end up, just as sure as I'm standing here. Your landing is determined by where you are leaning today. You will land where you lean. Be careful of your position. Maintain your balance. And be careful of your leanings. Or you're going to end up like this guy. You will land where you lean. Now my question is this. Where will you and this church land? I'm going to make a statement, preacher. This church will not always hold to the position it holds now. Something happens to you. You die. You go to heaven. Who knows what the next man will bring in?
Well, that's right.
Some of you. You say, well, you know, preacher's not always right. You're right. He's not. He doesn't claim to be perfect. He's not Jesus. But he is the man that God sent as a gift to this church. And you better make sure your leanings are with him and not with somebody who's whispering in your ear. Where will this church be? I probably won't live long enough to see where this church ends up. But if it starts leaning wrong, I can predict where it will end up. And I know where you're going to land if you're leaning in the wrong direction. Let's stand together, please. So, the invitation is very simple. And that is, where are you leaning today? What are you thinking about doing that is not in line with the Word of God? What part of the faith are you ready to jettison, to get rid of? Because it rubs you the wrong way. You need to turn around. You need to stop leaning in that direction. What friends are you hanging out with that you shouldn't hang out with? Like I said, be kind to everybody, but be careful of who you fellowship with. By the way, it may be a family member. Might be a close friend of yours. Just because they do wrong doesn't mean you have to do wrong. If they're leaning in the wrong direction or they've already landed in the wrong place, please don't follow them. You need to break your fellowship, even if they're believers. I want you to think about this right now. What is your position regarding the scriptures, regarding the preacher, regarding this church? Do you have a balance in your Christian life? Do you balance your beliefs with your lifestyle? Which direction are you leaning in right now? You say, well, I used to sit down in front, but, you know, I'm moving. Yeah, be careful. You're leaning. You're leaning. Dear Father, these are your people. Every one of us have a tendency to lean in the wrong direction. But what we need to know is we need to see the end as well as the beginning of our leanings. We need to see the destination, not just the direction. We need to maintain a balance in our Christian life. And by all means, we need the right position based upon a solid foundation of the Word of God. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to some hearts in this room who know that there is a tendency, a leaning, if you please, that is going to get them in trouble if they don't make some course corrections this morning. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I wonder if there's somebody who would admit to that. Please just raise your hand quickly, quietly. Would you raise your hand? I know it's very, yes, God bless you, ma'am. I know it's a very personal kind of an invitation. Your heads are bowed. Nobody's going to see you if you raise your hand. Anybody else? I mean, I hope God the Holy Spirit did convict some of you. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Who else? Way up high. I notice not an easy invitation. And it's primarily directed at Christians, obviously. Is there someone else that say, preacher, I got to be careful. I got to make some course corrections this morning or I'm going to head in the wrong place, end up where I don't belong. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you. God bless you. Who else? I'm just going to give another few seconds to this invitation. Anybody like that? Now let me just close by saying this. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, you're leaning toward hell, toward the lake of fire. And that's where you're going to end up unless you make a course correction this morning and trust Jesus and what He did on the cross of Calvary to save you from hell. He paid your sin debt, and today can be the day of salvation for you. I wonder if there's somebody here who would say, "Preacher, I'm not 100% sure that if I died right now and go to heaven, but I'd like to be sure. Here's my hand. Pray for me." Would you lift your hand, please? Anybody like that? Yes, God bless you, ma'am. Thank you so much. Anybody else who have the courage to say, "That's me, preacher. I'm not sure, but I want to be sure. Here's my hand." All right. I'm going to ask the organist to play some invitation hymn. Christian, whether you raise your hand or not, if you need to come forward, I want you to come right now. Young lady, you raised your hand about assurance of salvation. Would you come and shake my hand, please? Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. And preacher, do you have a lady to help? What's your name? All right. Oh, there you go. All right. How about it, Christian? Come on. We got a couple men down here. Praise the Lord for men in the church who have some backbone. You raise your hand and you meant it. Would you come, please? Would you come? Others raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. It's what we're here for. This is what we do in church. Would you come? Would you come? Dear Father, thank you for those who have the courage of their convictions to raise their hand in a service where the invitation is not easy. And we pray also for those who did come forward and ask that these dear men who are leaders in the church will be blessed and be used of you because of the courage of their convictions. And we'll thank you. Pray for this dear young lady who right now is being dealt with by the preacher's wife concerning her eternal destiny. Lord, help us to know that that's what it's really all about. The bottom line is going to heaven when we die. And we ask that you will save her and seal her till the day of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen.